Pencil Book Distribution K. Poor Brahmanandi. Hare Krishna. So welcome back for the second part of the Book Distribution Seminar. Welcome back to the old students, and welcome for the new students as well. Those who haven't been here yesterday, if you could kindly tell us your name, where you're from, and what's your two top expectations of this course?
Bhakta Boon.
Bhakta Boon, welcome.
Isleworth.
Yes?
Hope to learn some.
All right. If you can stay and write down. All right. Laptop. Okay. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And what's your good name?
Anthony.
All right. Dr. Anthony from?
Cambridge.
Cambridge. And your expectation of the course is?
To provide me with enough knowledge about book distribution in my hometown.
Okay.
In my hometown.
Think globally, act locally. Good. I like that. All right.
Hare Krishna, Vijayadas.
Yes?
So, my expectation is already there.
Oh, it's already there.
I wanted to thank you, Prabhu. It's very powerful, your class today, yesterday, and now I see he's working already.
He's already working?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember, 10% of the benefit goes this way. Okay. In the back, we've got your name?
Siddharth.
Yes? Welcome, Siddharth.
I'm from Nandanoli, and I've never been on book distribution. I'd just like to see what's about.
Okay, good. Welcome. This is the right place to find out about it. We already had you yesterday. Thanks for coming again. Thanks for making it. In the back, we have
Sachikishore
Das. What's your expectation?
I'd like to learn how to do more on the street. Do some street book distribution.
Okay, learn how to do street book distribution. All right, and we've got... Were you here yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've already told us. Our new guests, what's your name?
My name is Madhurya Gaurangi.
Hare Krishna.
And I couldn't come yesterday, but I'm from Bhaktivinoda Manor. And I just try to get some inspiration and improve what I already know.
Okay, welcome.
My name is Helen. I'm originally from Bristol, and I'm staying at Bhaktivinoda Manor.
So you better find out what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What's your good name? Yes.
Julia.
All right.
I'm from Southampton, Hampshire. I'm near BB. So my top list is to whoever I speak to is to give them a Bhagavad
Gita. All right. So you want to learn how to do the Gita?
Yes.
You want to do them? Give them the best you got. All right. Good. Who else is new today? Were you here yesterday? No, all right, please. Your name, where you're from, and your expectation. Did we miss anybody? You're new? Have you been here yesterday? Yesterday evening? Okay, so you already... All right, it's Prabhuji. Please, your name, where you're from, and your expectation of the course.
So, what was the last question?
Expectation.
Oh, right. My name's Anshu, I'm from East London. Actually, I've never done books before, but I've always wanted to do books.
Oh, all right.
And I thought this is quite an interesting seminar. And listen to.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope your expectations are met.
Yeah.
Well, thanks all for coming down here. We got 2 hours at our hands, and we're starting right away with the course because our highly paid tech supporters are again fumbling, making a mess of things. But it's all right. We can just carry on. Who did their homework? Who remembers their homework? What was the homework?
five reasons why we do the book.
Okay, yes. Yesterday we spoke about the goal is we want to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And the question was, why? Why do we want to do that? Before we embark on any venture, we have to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we have to be making sure we're very clear about the why. Why is that so? Anybody's got a clue? Why it is important? Yes?
Because the detail comes from knowing the goals, precisely.
All right. What else?
To be convinced why I'm doing this activity.
You've got to be first convinced yourself, otherwise you can't convince others. So, we'd like to hear some of your top five reasons of why you are distributing or you want to distribute Prabhupada's books. Not something cute, something nice, something you read somewhere, heard somewhere. Your personal reason, like in your gut feeling, you know. Because you could be out, you know, having a good time. You could be doing so many different things. Why do you want to distribute Prabhupada's books? So we're not going to go around, you know, in order. Just when you feel like it, please tell us.
Whatever knowledge we have acquired, we want to pass it on to others, and we want the others also to get the benefit out of it.
Okay, so you want to share your knowledge with others. That's good. Thank you for that. What's your good name?
Suhasini.
Suhasini. And your expectation of this course?
Yeah.
You have an expectation from this seminar? Because we just went around and everybody introduced themselves and stated their expectation.
I would love to distribute more books to people who would want to learn the how to do it. You know?
All right. Good. It's the right place. Thank you. So, what's your top reason why you distribute books?
I didn't hear that I was going to say the same, but in a different way, to share what's really good in life. Because this is the ultimate good thing about life.
All right. What else? Why you want to distribute books?
So we can all relish the times that Krishna's Krishna practice wherever we
are. All right. Okay. Yes.
Well, for me personally, it's a I just somehow feel doing it, you know. I feel that this is the way how I can the best engage myself in Krishna's service.
Okay, best engagement for Krishna's service.
Well,
thank you.
I feel that I can give myself, like all myself in that, and I feel that I'm like fully.
Fully engaged.
Fully engaged, comparing with other services. Although I don't say it's better or worse, but just personally with me, I feel fully engaged in that. And, so.
Okay. What else? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Because Krishna's representative said so.
Okay.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada as well.
And you believe them?
Yeah.
How come? Just blind faith? Or?
No, they're like pure souls.
They please souls, okay. You've seen it makes a difference.
Definitely.
You've experienced the benefit of it. All right. Anybody else?
I have a slightly journalism background. So there's a lot of media out there, a lot of newspapers, books, and it's a lot of it is junk. People that are really in the fray.
It's a lot of noise out there.
So why don't people read something useful that will help them in this life and the next life?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Fair enough. Yes. Yes. Is there more chairs? Is there no chair? There is few chairs up here front if you'd like to take a seat here. Any other reasons why you're distributing books? Yes, Maha.
I do it because I try to fix myself, and by doing this, I feel better.
Okay, you want to fix yourself up and you feel better by doing books. That's honest, yes. Thank you for that.
And it's one of the way to feed the soul, I
believe,
rather than the body.
Okay. You feel nourished, you feel you can give nourishment to others by giving them books.
Especially to the soul rather than the body.
We want to hear Mataji, she's very senior.
What's your good name, and where are you from, and what's your expectation of the course?
My name is Sharon.
Hare Krishna, welcome.
I'm from India, in fact, I live here in this country. I have a question. I want to please Srila Prabhupada my good knowledge. So I want to improve my good distribution.
Thank you for
so
that.
I want to learn the
politics. All right. Okay. Okay, so those who haven't done it yet, please write down your 108 reasons why you distribute Prabhupada's books. Namely the top, you know, five, which should be always present right in front of you. That when somebody asks you, why are you out here? You could be making money. You could be out there enjoying. Huh? What's wrong with you? Then you tell them, I'm doing this because this, 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 and this. Huh? And then they say, well, okay, fair enough, you know. All right, so looks like stuff. We're getting upgraded by the minute. Yeah. It's looking very bright, but... you ready or not?
Yep. As ready as I can
have. Okay, Prabhupada. So today's topic is the seven secrets of highly successful book distributors. I know you've heard this before. Sounds familiar. Seven habits. Habits are things which you do on a regular basis. They have formed your being, your nature. What's another word for habit?
Behavior.
Behavior. So things which you do on a regular basis, they become a habit. Like, for instance, we see some people, they like to click with their pens, you know, or they like to bite their fingernails, or they like to fidget, especially when they get, you know, a little nervous. So these are different behavioral patterns which develop into habits. Now there's good habits and bad habits. Some of the habits we try to get rid of, some of the habits are very good habits, and we try to enforce them. So, the preaching activities, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is definitely a good habit. And we're trying to make it from a behavior into a habit, something which we're doing on a regular basis. And in order to form that habit, we are discussing the seven secrets of highly successful book distributors. This was compiled by Vaisheshika Prabhu from ISV, ISKCON of Silicon Valley, San Jose, who's a good friend of ours and a mentor. You can find out a lot of information about him and his teachings on distributebooks.com. There's a lot of video clips and information, different materials, and they're running that website. So the first point is about desire. Cultivate your desire. We know that basically the soul, the jiva, can only desire. Our only ability is to desire. We cannot actually do that much but desire. After that, everything is up to either prakriti, material nature, or the divine nature, spiritual nature. Wow, we're getting really fancy now. We're going pro now. We're going AirBook, the MacBook Pro. We're getting updated here, you know. It happens on a very rapid scale. But maybe by the end of the session, we'll actually get something out of it. So where there is a will, there is a way. You see, there's a lot of willpower here at work. So hopefully, by the end of the seminar, we'll actually get some conclusive results. Basically speaking, it all boils down to our desire. If our desire to give people Krishna consciousness is stronger than their desire for material activity, they will have to submit to your desire. Now, we know that saying that a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So, it's not enough to just talk somebody into something. Because, why? Because his habits will still stay the same. If we do not address his behavior and his habits, just to change the opinion is not enough. Because they will go back to their old ways. And how do you change a habit? Any ideas?
By good association.
By good association, yes.
Showing a good example.
Showing good example, yes.
By practice.
Just
forcing yourself to do differently.
Force yourself to do differently. You say, from today on, I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it a different way.
You can catch yourself doing
yes.
it and think, right, we'll stop now.
Yes. So it all boils down to design. Is there more chairs in the building, or maybe some of our younger members can move up and have a seat here? Some of our senior members can take the chairs. There is cushions also, yes. So where there is a will, there is a way. Willpower is something very, very powerful. Huh? Stay hungry and humble. A lot of times we see people losing the edge, losing their ability to do things by just becoming very complacent or feeling very comfortable by being slightly too much saturated or satisfied by their experiences. Have you ever had the experience yourself that you've tried, you struggled, and you achieved, but then after a while it has become normal and natural, and you don't exactly feel, I have to do this, or I have to push, or I have to endeavor, because... Thank you. Yes. I'll tell you later.
You can't fit more on the USB.
Pardon me?
Yes.
There is no DVD?
Correct? He's got it on his...
So what's your question?
Which videos do you want so I can put it on the USB and then transfer it on that, and then we can watch it?
You can't view it from this?
It doesn't have the wire.
Just take the ones from Prabhupada, which we haven't seen yet.
Okay.
Okay? So... Sorry for getting distracted here. The point was being hungry and humble. Humility is one of the primary qualities of Vaishnavas. Trinada pi sunichana tarorivasa ishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. We're trying to develop this mood of humility, which is the most important of the instructions of Lord Chaitanya. Now, we can think ourselves anything, but if we engage in the Sankirtan movement and we go out and distribute books, you are forced to develop humility. Because if you're proud, people will pick you up and put you down and walk all over you, and you will not like it. But if you're already down, then, you know, Krishna will pick you up. If you humble yourself, then actually people will respect you. In the Western world, people think, no, I have to stand up for myself. I have to be very strong and bold and outspoken and forceful. And this is sometimes a little difficult, depending on the cultural conditioning, or if you're a lady, you don't want to go out and just, you know, bah, take this book. Huh? But actually, you can be humble. And people will appreciate that. And Krishna will pick you up, and he will make you great. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He was the most successful person in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness all around the world. He was extremely humble. Huh? He said that if I simply can make one person Krishna conscious by coming here to the Western world, then, you know, I'm satisfied by that. I'm happy by that. Huh? He did not expect a huge result, but he was just depending on Krishna. So humility is one of the first and foremost Vaishnava qualities. So to develop humility is crucial. It is essential for every preacher and especially for a book distributor. Even if a person takes a book and gives you a good donation, as soon as you become proud and you think, oh, I've done this very nicely, then the next 10 people don't want to stop. They don't even want to look at you. So it goes instantaneous. So to stay humble is important. Associate with devotees who have strong faith in the holy names and a desire to give Krishna to others. You will get these notes later on. If our highly paid tech supporters are doing their job, we will get these notes out to you by the end of the class. So you don't have to write everything down, but you just take some points. Association. Everything boils down to association. Just like you can see, if you want to become an alcoholic... What do? Well, you practice. You have to keep on at it, right? You got to keep on at it. You have to work out very hard. And you can see people, they're forming habits by doing it on a very regular basis and by hanging out with similar, with like-minded people who think that it is very acceptable that after work you go to the pub and you just pour as much liquid as your body can tolerate. So... That is by practice, by association. In the similar way, you want to do sports. You go to a sports club, to a gym, and you hang out with people who are into that, who are into training, and who want to work out. And you read the books, and you associate with these people. I don't think you see much in the back. If you want to sit down, there's cushions here. You can sit here on the front. Yeah, there's one place here, and there's some spots over here also. So association with devotees who have strong faith in the holy name and the desire to give Krishna to others. Association is very, very important. So to associate with the other Vaishnavas who are engaged in the Sankirtan movement. Now you might say, well, I'm just in a small little town, you know, Cambridge, Bristol, up north, down south, east, west, wherever, and nobody's there. There is no association. But that's not true. Because there are devotees everywhere, literally speaking. There are devotees everywhere. The question is just, we don't know about them, or we might not yet know about them, right? Just like when you're doing your work and you're trying to find out, you know, you find out all of a sudden there's so many people in all these areas, right? So the question is just, how do we engage them? How do we communicate? How do we get together? How do we network? So the devotees are already there. And if you got something good, if you have a program which makes sense, which is sensible, which is a program which is viable, so many people will come forward and they want to assist, they want to join in. But for them it's a little too much to organize it. It's a little too complex. We'll get into organization later on. And your ability will grow to meet your strong desire. In the beginning you think, yes, I have a desire, but I'm not very capable. I'm not very trained, I'm not very skilled, this is a new thing for me. But your ability will grow in time as your desire also grows stronger. I have seen devotees who initially were very introverted, they were not very outspoken, they were not very even fluent in English language or in any local languages. And all of a sudden, over due course of time, because their desire was very strong, they started connecting with the people. I have a good friend of mine. He's from Croatia, and he's been distributing books in Denmark, and it was very, very tough for him to connect with the people, because it's a different mentality. Croatia is like southern. People are much more warm, more Latin style, and Denmark is northern. You know, people are more cold, more reserved. And he was having a hard time. Then later on he moved to America, to Los Angeles. It's a completely different world. It's a different universe. And he was struggling like anything. You remember Mritunjay? No? And he's a god brother of ours. And then, all of a sudden, I always ask him, Prabhu, how did it go? How was your day? And he said, it's very tough. I did 3 books today. But I will do this. And he pushed on for several years. And all of a sudden, he started doing 30, 40, 50, and more books. So his ability just completely expanded. So don't think right now I'm doing 2 small books and 5 invitation cards, so that's what it's going to be for the rest of my life. Your ability will grow, all in correspondence with your desire. I just got the news now from the scores. There's a friend of mine in Delhi, his name is Bhakta Rakesh Oberoi. He's not initiated, he's a short little fella, and he is distributing about 5,000 books a month. And the way he does it is, he just contacts the owners of industries and companies, and he goes and he talks to their wives, and he gives them gifts and cakes and prasadam and books. And then he makes a meeting with the boss. And then he introduces the books of Krishna consciousness, and he asks the person to buy 500 or 1,000 or a few thousand Bhagavad Gitas. And he convinces them. And they buy. Hundreds and sometimes thousands of Bhagavad Gitas in one time. So he has this vision, he has this plan to do this. You may think, oh, this is impossible. This is not, I can't do this. Well, impossible is in a fool's dictionary. Why can't you do this? With the same effort you approach one person and he takes one book, with the same effort you can approach another person and he takes 1,000 books. Huh? So, your ability will grow to meet your strong desire. Any questions about cultivating desire?
Yes. It's also like a question of time. The longer you desire for it, then...
Yes. You have to give it the time it requires. We're too impatient. We have a very small time scale. Like our time scale is like, okay, now, right?
Yeah.
That's about our patience level. We want it to happen now, you know, or yesterday. Okay, you know, I'm very patient. I'll give you a week, you know, and if your formula doesn't work, then I'm not gonna continue. But we have to see things in a bigger perspective. Huh? Like we heard yesterday, no, day before yesterday, from Pankajangri Prabhu, you know, considering the demigods, you know, we're just flies, you know. We're just, huh? Like for us, the ants are very small, right? And they're very limited. For the demigods, we are the ants. Huh? And for the people on even higher planets, the demigods are the ants. So we have to be a little patient. Give it the time it requires. All good things take time. So, yes? It's Krishna's plan, yes. So we have to just go along with it. And sometimes it may take shorter, sometimes it may take longer time. It's not according to our powers. It's not us. It's beyond our circle of influence. The only thing, what's your circle of influence? Huh?
Desire.
The circle of influence is right here. That's about our circle of influence. That's this fellow right here. And that means my desire. Huh? So if we cultivate the pure and strong and burning desire to give Krishna consciousness to others, you can make a difference. We're moving on to practice. Cultivate discipline. Discipline comes from the Latin word discipulus. It means the learner. There's no question of being a student without discipline. It's like if you're in school and everybody claims to be a student, but they're very unruly, they're very disobedient, they're not very inquisitive. It's not really the qualities of a disciple. So we have to have the attitude of learning this activity. Definition of discipline is conscious control over lifestyle. It is a conscious control over your lifestyle. Basically, it means that you are rearranging your life, your identity, in order to achieve the objective. Just like when you're a sports person, what do? You exercise, you diet, you rest, you prepare yourself mentally, psychologically, just so you can be at your best. You can perform on a top level. Now, in the same way, when you're doing spiritual practice, the same is the truth. Huh? We are having conscious control over lifestyle. We know if I will go after this seminar to the restaurant and eat 3 plates of prasadam, I will not be able to get up from Mangalarti. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible, right? Or you may try, but then later on, you know, you may feel very tired, very sleepy. So we have to be conscious of that and behave in such a way that it will be conducive for our service. But a lot of times we behave in ways which are not very beneficial for our activity. Just like I see devotees sometimes at breakfast, they're also eating huge amounts. And afterwards they're on the street and they're starting to, you know, shake and move around and can barely keep their eyes open. You can't connect with people. You have to be fresh. You have to be at your best. So, think nothing will change until I do. Change comes from within. If we try to change the people or change the world without changing ourselves, it will not really have that big of an effect. Things will go back to the ways they were before. So, to work on ourselves, don't push the people on the street. We think, I just got to go out and force the people to take these books. But the people will not be very happy to be forced. But if we push ourselves to be more pure, to be more dedicated, to be more inspired, then automatically it happens in a powerful way. Failure is the pillar of success. When Edison made the light bulb, he tried for how many times?
5,000.
5,000 times.
10,000
times. Who else has more? 20,000. 50, sold. He tried for several thousand times before he succeeded. And they asked him, why didn't you give up? He said, I just figured out 10,000 times how not to do it till I figured out how actually it did. Why am I sitting on this chair here today? I have made all the mistakes in the book, and also those which are not in the book, which you can make. Huh? I know what it feels like to do things wrong, because I have done it. And that's why I'm sitting here giving this seminar, because I don't want you to make the same stupid mistakes. I want you to make some of them, because it's healthy, it's good. You know, it's called learning. It's the toll money you have to pay on the road. But I don't want you to make the same mistake more than a dozen times. If you catch yourself for the 786th time preaching to that Christian person, all the gospel of Krishna consciousness and how it ties in with Christianity, and after 45 minutes the person still doesn't want to take the book, then you should realize maybe I'm doing something wrong here. Maybe this is not exactly productive. So it's okay to make mistakes. Failure is the pillar of success. But don't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Otherwise, what's the danger? It becomes a habit. And you think it's normal, right? I've been doing this all my life.
Or you lose your enthusiasm.
Yeah, you think this can't work. It's not possible. It just doesn't work. And I've seen devotees approaching people and telling people things which you shouldn't do, because they just don't work. We get into the practical aspects on Sunday morning, where we'll have some demonstration and some live demos. How to stop people, how to present the book, how to find out their area of interest, and how to close the deal. But just as a little pointer, as a little example, like I saw today. How many times have you seen yourself trying to stop people with a stretched out hand with a book in your hand? Just trying to stop people by putting a book into their stomach. Have you ever tried that? Has it been successful?
Well, it's a small book, they think it's leaflets, so sometimes...
If they think it's an invitation card, they might want to pick it up, but... Putting a big book to their chest or to their head, you know, like here, you know, eat this. No, it's not really productive. So then, if it doesn't work, don't do it, right? The point was, failure is the pillar of success. And practice makes perfect. If you see those tennis players serving those aces, how many balls do you think have they served? How many times have they picked up these balls and shut them over? 100,000 times? 500,000 times? A lot of times. So practice makes perfect. It takes practice, like sadhana bhakti. We're chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Are we perfected?
No.
Is the holy name perfect?
Yes.
So keep on at it. Keep on chanting. And the more you chant, the more you become purified, and the more perfect you become. Can we open some of the windows? It's getting kind of stuffy in here. Need a bit of oxygen. Yeah, but oxygen is that stuff which is out there. Or at least we hope so. Emulate successful preachers and book distributors. You got to have a role model. You got to have a hero, a star. Like when you're a kid, right? In your room. You have the sports stars and the music stars, and you know, these are your heroes, your role model. So you got to have some role model, somebody to emulate. You can take your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, some other successful preacher, and you think, I want to become enlivened by this person's example. I want to follow in their footsteps. There is a difference between imitating and following in their footsteps. Imitation is like if somebody starts to dress and walk and use the same accent like Srila Prabhupada. It becomes annoying, right? It becomes weird, corny, it's strange. Huh? But to follow in their footsteps means you emulate their example. You see what they have done and you try to emulate it in your own lives. Any questions to practice? Yes.
When you talked about failure, when you make mistakes, you say this or that technique doesn't work, so it doesn't work, we should learn that maybe we should change our technique. But in different situations for different persons,
yes.
There's always a different technique. So how
yes.
do we develop that? The sense that for this person, this will...
By practice, by experience. By experience. There's 400,000 species of human beings, and very few of them are civilized. But most of them are in London. You have the whole universe out here. This is like a zoo, you know? So if you want to see all these species, you got to go out in London and distribute Prabhupada's books. And you can become very well-versed, very versatile in your sankirtan, in distributing books in this city. So it's a good challenge. Because it's time, place, and circumstance. Every person is different. Like culturally, things are different. If you're in Japan, you can't sell a religious book. It doesn't work. You're a monk or a nun. So you go up to people and you bow down to them. And then you hand them a gift. And then they bow down to you and they accept the gift. And then they give you a donation. And then you bow down again. And then you both walk away. And that's the ritual. That's the protocol. Like when you go meet the queen, you know, there is a certain protocol. You can't just walk in there and say, hey, hi, how's it going? You know, this and that. Where are you coming from? Hari Bol, you know? It doesn't come across, you know? So you have to know, who am I dealing with? If I'm in America, you know, you go up and you do like this. How's it going, you know? But if you try to do this here, you know, give somebody like that, then they put their hand out. They think like you want to give them something. You know? So you have to see what is the social customs. In certain cultures, people don't want to shake hands. I had a man today. He was from some Arab country. And he just gave me his coat, you know. He didn't give me his hand. He just gave me his coat. And I was like, okay, my bad, you know. I should have known. But I just saw, you know. He just felt very awkward. It's just not the thing to do. So it comes by practice, by practice. And then you memorize, and Krishna gives you the intelligence. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. Krishna gives you the intelligence. How should I behave? What should I say? How should I deal with this person, with that person? And all of a sudden, you're fluent. In all the languages, you can just deal with everybody. And even if they don't understand your language, you can still communicate with them and you can still give them a book. Have you ever seen it? You have people, they don't speak your language, but you can still communicate with them? So many times. What's the most universal form of communication? Huh?
The heart.
From the heart, yes. You smile and you just speak from your heart. Right? And that always gets across. That always gets the other person. I had a god sister in New York, and she lost her voice so many times that she just made a sign, and it said, books on yoga and meditation, inner peace and spirituality. I've lost my voice. I can't speak. I'm sorry. Please give a donation, $5 or $10. God bless. Thank you very much. She just stands up to people. She smiles. She shows them the sign. They give her money. They take the book. They walk away. He doesn't speak more. So it's not about how fast you speak, how fast you run, you know. Sometimes I see young devotees, you know, they think, I got the looks, I got the moves, I can make this happen, you know. I sold some lottery tickets for my sports club or something, so now I can sell these books also. Come on, give me 20 of these. I can do this, no problem. And they can't sell a single book. So it's not about material salesmanship. It's about communicating from your heart to the heart of the other person. And if they feel you're sincere, you're a nice person, they will listen to you, they will take the book, and they will give you a donation. We were having Harinam in Washington, D.C. just a couple of weeks ago, and people were mesmerized by the kirtan, and they were just, you know, forming around. And I was there with the books, so some African-American middle-aged two ladies in their 50s, they just stopped, they looked at us, they looked at me, and they said, "You people are very happy." They said it three times, "You're very happy." I said, "Yes. And it's because of this." And I handed them the book. And they just immediately gave a donation. So it's not that you have to explain to them the whole creation, you know, from Brahma down to the atom. No. People just want to experience love. They want to love and be loved. And if they feel that you are carrying a little bit of that loving potency, of that loving potential, if they feel you have a little bit of that experience, whatever it is you've got, I want it too. That is book distribution. That is preaching. Any other questions about practice? All right, we're moving on here. Read mindfully. Capture and absorb what you read. Who read Prabhupada's books today? Who is still going to read Prabhupada's books today? Okay. Because people are going to ask you, "So what is in this book?" You know? And if you're clueless, come on, man, just buy it. You know, donation, charity, come on, chuck it in the bucket. Give something, man. It's not going to cut it. You got to practice what you preach. If you're not taking this medicine yourself, if you say, "Oh, I just work here," you know? If the chef says, "You know, I'm sorry, I don't know how the food's like, I just work here," you know? It's not going to be very convincing. You want to have some experience there. There's nothing more annoying than a salesman who doesn't know his product and who doesn't feel strongly about his product. And it's not just when you go to a store and the person tells you, "Yeah, yeah, these shoes are great. I have 3 pairs of these. They work wonderful. Buy one," you know? But you have to be knowledgeable. You have to be convinced. Then you can spread that enthusiasm and conviction to others. So reading mindfully and capture and absorb what you read, that means you're not just making an eye exercise. Like, I know sometimes devotees say, "Okay, I've done my hour, or I've done my 20 pages. Boom, that's it. Now I can do any damn thing I like." And if you ask them, "What did you read today?" Ask yourself at the end of the day, "What did I read today? What was the point? Or what were the points?" You should be able to memorize. Otherwise, if you're not able to remember what you read 5 minutes ago, how are you going to remember tomorrow when you're out on the street? You're not. So write it down. Take notes. Whatever sticks to your mind. Share your realizations. Get together with some other devotees and share what you have read. And exchange your realizations. And in this way, it goes very deep. Fortify yourself daily by associating with Srila Prabhupada and his books. When you are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, you are a personal servant, a personal assistant of Srila Prabhupada. But in order to do that service, we have to fortify ourselves. You know what fortify means? It's like you have a fortress and you fortify it. You make it very strong and solid. Because this place, this is Maya's kingdom. Anything is going on 24/7. This city never sleeps. Maya is on the move. So if we want to touch people's hearts and touch their lives and not become influenced, not become contaminated by all the material modes and activities, we have to be very strong in our Krishna consciousness. That means we have to be intellectually strong, we have to be mentally strong, we have to be spiritually strong, we have to be emotionally strong. We can't just give in to any women weakness. If somebody says, "Oh, why don't you come with me?" And you think, "Oh yeah, why not? Maybe it's Krishna's desire." Yeah. We have to be strong. There will be temptations. There will be tests. There will be obstacles. There will be all sorts of tribulations. Maya's got a big box, and there's a lot of toys in that box. Huh? And she'll pull them all out at the opportune moment and say, "My dear sir, my dear lady, didn't you want one of these? Huh? Didn't you want that? Here it is. It's yours. It's free. Huh? Free gift. No charge for you, my friend. No profit." Huh? There's a Japanese saying, "There's nothing as expensive as a free gift." Huh? Why? By accepting a free gift, you become obliged to that person. Like, you can distribute a lot of books by obliging people. Just by being nice. If you're nice and kind and respectful and courteous, people feel obliged. Oh, I gotta stop. I gotta speak to this person. Or I gotta answer this person's question. Just by knowing the art of obliging people, you can distribute a lot of books. Chant one chapter of Gita every day. Who is in the chat club? It's a chapter a day club. Any members here?
Yeah, we did.
We have a club. It's called the Chat Club. C-A-D. Chapter a day. Huh? Chant one chapter Bhagavad Gita a day. You just chant the Sanskrit and the English. If you are having more time, you also read the purport. But if you do that every day in a month, you read Bhagavad Gita twice. And after a couple of months, it starts to make sense. You actually get a hang of it. You actually figure out what Krishna is trying to tell to Arjuna. And you can see how the whole thing comes together. It becomes very solid. And when you're in doubt, when you're in difficulty, that shloka comes to you like the arrow came to Arjuna. It wasn't that, you know, he was fumbling like our techies, you know. He just had his quiver and that arrow just came. In the same way, when you're chanting Gita on a daily basis, those shlokas will come to you in the opportune moment when you need them. So try it. I'm not saying you have to believe me. I'm just saying try it out. You're all very educated and very scientific minded people here. So I'm saying try it out. Do it for 1 month. What do you got to lose, right? Can't get any worse. Huh? Can only get better. You got nothing to lose. So try it. Chant one chapter Gita a day. And see what it does to your mind, to your consciousness, to your life, what it does to your preaching, to your ability to distribute Prabhupada's books. All of a sudden, you become obsessed with giving people Bhagavad Gita. Because you feel like, I want to give them the best I've got. I want to really make a difference in their life. I want them to have this book. Any questions on reading mindfully? And some days are chaotic. Some days are just, you know, some days it's like one of these days. It's survival mode. Huh? From when you get up till you put your head down. It's just like rolling with the punches. Have you ever had days like that? Yes. Where you just, you know, you just have to keep on at it just to keep your nose clean and your head above the water. So then, what do? You just pick up a book before you go to bed. And you read a few verses. If you say, I don't have any time, well then just get up an hour earlier. All of a sudden you have 1 hour more time. Try it out. It's not rocket science. Huh? Just go to bed early, get up 1 hour earlier, and you've got your 1 hour for reading. Everybody can do it. They ask Prabhupada, how did you chant your rounds when you were a grihastha? You had wife, children, you had a business to run, a pharmacy, employees, so many things. He said, very easy. I got up, I chanted 4 rounds, and I chanted 4 rounds before breakfast, lunch, and dinner, every day. And I always chanted 16 rounds, minimum. So don't think it's impossible. Huh? Again, habit. Just get into the habit of doing it. Any questions towards reading?
Like normal days, when you just go out like that, books, this is like more easy. But what to speak of marathons, there is hardly any strength.
Every day has 24 hours. Does a marathon day have less hours?
Yeah. Well, but then you spend more time on the street.
Yeah, but the day still has 24 hours. How many hours do you spend on the street?
During marathon?
Yeah.
Well, 8.
Yeah, so that leaves how many hours? 16. What do you think? Can you spare one for reading? Where does your potency come from? Where does your inspiration come from? Where does your purity, your shakti come from?
Well, then...
Just like as an example, if I tell you, you got to go out to the park, and you know there's some big trees out there, and you got to cut down that tree. And I give you a saw, and I tell you, you've got 3 hours time. But the saw is not very sharp. What are you going to do? How much time are you going to spend sawing, and how much time are you going to spend sharpening the saw? If your saw is very sharp, you can cut down that tree in no time. But if you go out there with a club and you think I can club this tree down, you can hack away and keep on at it for a couple of days and you'll just make a mess. So it's not the amount of hours you spend out there. It's about your concentration, about your focus. Some days you go out 2 hours and you do more books than in 8 hours. Have you ever experienced that? So then what's the conclusion? The conclusion is I should only go out 2 hours, right? Very good. Good logic. No, the conclusion is you should learn how to be concentrated, like in those 2 hours. But then you stretch it, and all of a sudden your concentration, your attention span goes to 3 hours, to 4 hours. And you build up. It's a matter of concentration. It's not how long I've been out there. Oh, I was out there 10 hours today. How did it go? Well, I don't know, you know? How many books did you do? Well, I don't know. Many times I meet devotees like that, completely confused and bewildered. Then just go out shorter time and be very focused. It's about focus. It's about intensity. You have to work at this. Yes?
Because the temple is very close to here, but sometimes we are away from safe base, you know, so what to do, how to bring that, how to get that concentration, that intensity back whenever you get bewildered or affected by somebody.
Turn towards Srila Prabhupada's books, the books which you're carrying. These books are deities, they're none different from Krishna. Krishna Svaram Upagate, Krishna is none different from his holy name, and he's none different from Srimad Bhagavatam. So you just pick up one of these books and you start reading, you just read a few pages. And there you got your temple right there. You're carrying the deities. You're carrying the temple right on your arm. So the temple, what is the temple? The temple is not, you know, some bricks and some wood and some, you know, linoleum floor. The temple is a place of worship. The temple is a state of consciousness. So you can be at the temple wherever you are. But that's a little hard sometimes. So we still need to go to the temple. Huh? Other questions? Yes.
I've just started to distribute books, so I get to distribute books which I have not even read. So how do you approach?
It's not a problem. Just like you might be a pharmacist or a sales assistant in a pharmacy, you have not tried all the medicines which are in your shop, right? Because it's not possible. But you know, this is good companies, this is good product. I have tried some of them. I know many people have gotten benefit from these products. So faith is there. Conviction is there. Because of positive experience. But you should read the books first, which you distribute. Like here, what are you distributing? You're distributing Science of Self-Realization, Bhagavad Gita, a few small books, Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Volume 1. So you should read these books. It doesn't take that long, a couple of months. You've read all these books, right? In fact, if you keep on reading every day, 2 hours, within 2 years, you read all of Prabhupada's books. All the books. You just read 2 hours a day. And within 2 years, you read all the books. How many of you have read all of Prabhupada's books? That's very few. You should make that a goal, you know? This is Prabhupada's literary contribution. These are his devotional ecstasies. This is his gift to humanity. These are the law books, the textbooks for the next 10,000 years. This should be our goal. It might be a long-term goal, may not happen today and tomorrow, but if you keep on at it, then it can happen, right? But start reading. Other questions? regarding reading. All right, we carry on here. Chant the Maha Mantra with attention. Think nothing is more important than my 16 rounds. Huh? I've heard many times devotees say, oh, you know, I'm preaching, I have got so many engagements, I got so much service in the temple, I can't really chant my rounds. Or, you know, you just chant a little bit in the morning, and a little bit at noon, and a little bit at 11:30 at night, you know, and a little bit on the highway while you're driving. That's not giving proper attention. They asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we distribute more books? He said, if you just sit down in the morning and you chant your 16 rounds in one go, and you don't get up till you're finished, this will increase your book distribution. So there you got it. You heard it. From the big guy. Huh? From Srila Prabhupada, straight. That's the best technique. You want to increase your preaching? You want to increase your book distribution? You get up, you chant 16 rounds without stop, and you will see what it does to your sankirtan. I know there's a lot of ifs and buts and when and this and that. Huh? Oh, a few here, a few there, let's mix it up a bit. But then you get into all different types of, you know, habits which are not very good. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we have to chant attentively. Huh? So that means practice the three P's. Posture, sit properly. Many times I see devotees, they just do so many different things while they're chanting. They don't give it really the proper attention. Just sit down. If you can't sit down, just walk up and down. But focus on the chanting. Pronunciation. Correct bad chanting habits. You might think, oh, you know, shne shne kiti kiti ki ra 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 ra. And it sounds like, you know, some of these cars, you know, which are driving around here. No. Krishna will not be attracted. We have to, you know. Like if I say, Adam, 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 Adam. You think like, who's this guy? Who's this jerk? But if I go, Adam, Adam, hey Adam, Adam, you think like, oh yeah, what's up? That's me, right? Huh? But Krishna is a person. Krishna is hearing us. If you think I'm chanting spectacular rounds, just have you ever recorded your chanting, your japa? Please do so. Huh? I sometimes have to listen to my voice speaking, and I think like, who is this proud idiot speaking here? Who is this ass? You know? Record your chanting, huh? And see, you will be surprised of, you know, how few holy names are there. Huh? It's a religious experience of the other kind. Then, prayer. Call out like a baby for its mother. Huh? You have to cry out to Krishna. Hey Krishna! Hey Govinda! With feeling, with emotion. Then Krishna will be present and will help us. Huh? Same like on the street. If you think, oh, I've got it all under control, I've got it all figured out, I can deal with anybody and everything, then why should Krishna appear? He doesn't have to, right? Because you're the man. You've got it figured out. But if we have a prayerful mood and we say, Krishna, please help me, please empower me, I can't do this on my own, then Krishna will appear and he will manifest in your chanting. And he will also manifest in your preaching and in your book distribution. Imagine your last breath. Huh? We may think, oh, you know, I'm a young chap, I still got 40 or 60 years ahead of me. But who knows? You never know. Huh? Every moment could be your last. In fact, every day, so many people are dying. But still we're thinking, oh, I'm going to be here forever. And that's why we do not take this chanting very seriously. And we just chant a little bit, as we do so many other things. If you examine your own lives, how much am I enthusiastic for chanting and hearing? And how much am I enthusiastic for so many other things? Just examine, see. We should keep the sound vibration going all the time. Hear and chant. Huh? There's all this technology you can have, you know, different classes, you can go to kirtan, you chant, you read. All this sound vibration is very powerful. It's very powerful. Just like now. You hear this noise outside? It's not very distinct. But just the energy of it is very annoying, right? It's like, you don't want to deal with that. You're like, man, give me a break, you know? I have done my time today, you know? Leave me alone, right? I want to absorb myself in Krishna's holy name, in Krishna consciousness. And if you've got a 12-track mind, you have to put the holy name on all these 12 tracks. You don't just chant mechanically, but on the other tracks of your mind, you do so many, you know, one track is for bookkeeping, one track is for holidays and projects, one track is for homework, one track is for shopping, one track is for sports, one track is for music. No, you put the holy name on all the tracks, and you run it like an orchestra. And then you see what it does to your existence. All our potency comes from chanting Hare Krishna. This cannot be overemphasized. If you take shelter of the holy name, amazing things can happen. Like today I saw. I was very inspiring to see. So many devotees went out and made the endeavor to contact people with Prabhupada's books. And I had 3 devotees. People just by approaching them, by seeing them, they just gave them £20. Right? It happened. Just like that. Why? Because you were blissful. You were just ecstatic. And a person just wanted to participate in that. So, all the purity, it all comes from chanting. Can't be overemphasized. Now, some days are tough, and you don't feel 100%, and you feel like it wasn't really that good today. Then what do? You say, oh, I'm not going to go out? No, you go out. But you also chant in between the people. You can always chant. Not that you walk around on the street and you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, here, take a book. Hare Krishna, here, take a book. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, you, Hare Krishna, take a book. No. You can chant in your mind, in your heart. Always chant Hare Krishna. And in this way, you always stay connected with Krishna. You always stay blissful. Because there is nothing more valuable, nothing more powerful, and nothing more purifying than the holy name of the Lord in all the 14 worlds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In fact, these books are the literary incarnation of Krishna, of the holy name. Every page you open, there is Krishna, 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 Krishna. When I was 15 and I got a book, I didn't understand that much. I just counted how many times it says Krishna on every page. All these far out words, you know. Chanting is of utmost importance. Never give up chanting when you preach. Don't think, oh, I don't have time for this now. No, we do have time. This is where the potency comes from. Krishna reveals himself in the holy name. And I ask people, like now there's so many bald guys, right, walking around. So I ask them, are you a Buddhist or a Hare Krishna? Or I just ask them, are you a Hare Krishna? And they just start smiling. Or I ask people, so how's your karma today? How's your karma today? How are we doing? And they're like, oh. You know, they start smiling. Because it's something which, you know, everybody, they kind of know, but they're not thinking of it in such a way. So just ask them questions which put them... They ask, what it is it? You say, Hare Krishna. Have you heard of Hare Krishna? So funny, we're distributing books in Los Angeles, and there were 2 ladies coming into the concert very late. And I said, ladies, what's up? Why are you so late? What's wrong with you? And they're like, we were too busy, you know, the concert's almost over, they're coming. And I'm okay, here, take these books in yoga meditation. And they say, what is this? And I can see they don't have the... Sometimes people just don't have what it takes to listen to a lot of your explanations. Has it ever happened to you? It's like, it's out there and it's fast. So I just say, it's Hare Krishna. And she says, yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yes, how much is it? And I say, it's Hare Krishna. And she says, yeah, yeah, that's okay, it's all right. How much? And she takes the book. So if you're just convinced and you just say Hare Krishna, a lot of times people, they just, they open up completely and take the book. Huh? We were distributing, at the first concert we went, and we wanted to get our passes, our ID badges. And the security guard, he didn't want to let us in. And then we said, man, we don't have our passes. We got to get in to pick up our passes. He said, well, who are you with? We said, we're the Hare Krishnas. So he got on his radio and he radioed to his boss. And he said, yeah, boss, we got some Harley Christians here. You know, people hear whatever they want to hear. But you just spread the holy name. Like I was distributing prasadam cookies to all the security band members, managers, all the artists, everybody. So everybody's asking, what are these cookies? Are these special cookies? What is in these cookies? And I tell them, Hare Krishna. And then they take a bite, and they look at me, and they say, Hare Krishna. And they start to smile. And then they say, see, it works. Huh? So the more people see us, the more people get in touch with these books, the more they will chant Hare Krishna. And they will get purified. It takes some time. It takes a few favorable experiences. Sometimes they have to meet a few devotees till they build up their confidence level. Oh, okay, this is for real. Yes, now I will take this. So you got to be patient. Any questions on chanting? You already graduated on that one.
Would you also recommend early hours?
Early
hours.
Four?
For chanting.
No, only night between 9 and 11 o'clock. When everything's quiet and everything's peaceful. Yes. Of course. The earlier the better. Yes. Yeah, that helps. Hearing Prabhupada's chanting, yes.
I'm trying to develop an intuitive question, but I was thinking how to develop like willpower and it's really determination. There's so many things, like you said, there's so many things going on around you during the day and everything. And how to develop this kind of, you know, it's like you want to chant, you do your 16 in the morning.
It's called focus.
And how do you get that?
You got to be focused.
Yeah.
There's a million things you could be doing.
Yeah.
Like you could get up, and most people, what they do first, they check their messages, right? They start doing the emails. Huh? And then later on, you know, you go have coffee, you have a cigarette, you go out, you get the newspaper, you walk around, you do a few things, you know, like that. Or you can say, no, I get up, I pay my obeisances, I go take a shower, and I chant Hare Krishna. And I'm not going to deal with the world. The world can wait. Don't worry, the world will be out there waiting for you. The world will be there even after breakfast. All your messages, they're going to be there. None of them are going to be deleted. Everything is going to be just fine. But right now is prime time. Right now is quality time. For me and the boss, the little blue boy. Because we have a thing going on, you know? And I'm going to chant because I need this. More than I need food, more than I need air, more than I need messages. I need this. This is my right. You have to fight for your right to chant Hare Krishna. Because a million things may come and want to distract you, even as a devotee. It's a question of priority. Prioritize your life. Again, discipline. You know, build up the habit. It may take you a few years. You may slip a few times. You may develop some other habits. Ask some other devotee, how am I chanting? How am I doing? Tell me. Truly. I won't hold it against you. Please. Huh? Get feedback from others. Sometimes we're so subjective, we can't really see what's going on. So we have to have a friend who can actually tell us, because we just don't get it. We're too we become too much, you know, immunized, like Teflon, you know? Nothing sticks. So then you need somebody who's close to you who can tell you. Okay, we're moving on. Number 5. Take shelter of transcendental sound. Keep the vibration going at all times. Always keep the transcendental sound vibration. Never just tune into the material energy and into the material noise. Always have some sort of kirtan, katha, lecture, like that. It's very important. Otherwise, the material energy will take over. Or it will become a constant battle, constant fight for supremacy. Just hear and chant. Associate with devotees. Even when your mind becomes so loud and so powerful and so potent, you just tell him, okay, my dear mind, I know you've got very important things to tell me. This is the time where I'm going to deal with you. But right now, I'm doing my things. Okay? I've got my priorities here. Otherwise, you think you're chanting, but actually you're planning your weekend. You think you're reading, but actually you're doing something else. You think you're sitting in class, but already you're planning, you know, 10 million light years ahead. Has it ever happened to you? That your mind just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you miss living in the moment. The moment doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. Because we're constantly hankering about the future and we're constantly lamenting about the past, about all the lost opportunities and all our blunders and how we messed up. Because we can't live in the moment. We're not right now, right here. This is what's happening. So again, habit. We have to get our mind to accept that this is the program. You have to roll with the program. Book distribution actually means you learn how to control your mind. Before that, very difficult. Very difficult. Because the mind is playing so many games, so many tricks. But when you go on Sankirtan, you actually learn how to deal with your mind in a very positive and in a very progressive way. Would you like to learn that? Do you think it will be helpful for your lives to learn how to deal with your mind?
Yeah.
Or have you mastered the mind already? If so, please bless us, because it is a constant endeavor. It is a constant struggle. Like a hunter who has captured a wild animal, it will be very vigilant not to let that animal escape again. For the animal will be gone without being ever seen. Or it will turn against the hunter and try to kill him. So don't give your mind the freedom, the luxury to wander out there in the jungle of London and experience all the different flavors. And then you think, oh, okay, once it's got it satiated, it'll come back to me. And that will be very submissive. And all of a sudden your mind comes back and you look at it and you go like, whoa! You're an animal, man. I don't want to deal with you. What happened? And he's like, I was just out the weekend, like you told me. I was just out having a good time. Huh? We're like, man, you don't get into my house. Go get yourself cleaned up. Huh? We have to live with our mind on a daily basis. So to be vigilant, to control your mind, to expose it to Krishna conscious sound vibration, very important. Remove all obstacles by remembering Lord Chaitanya. Difficult things become easy when you remember Lord Chaitanya and vice versa. Lord Jesus said that if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain into the sea. Things which are impossible become quite easy. Like to stop somebody who is just addicted to sinful activity and give him a book about God. You know, if you go out and you tell people, you know, this book is actually about the enemy. This is about the person you envy the most. It's about the person who gives you guilt and fear and all these nice things, you know. You know, this is religion. Can you give some money? You believe in God? Can you give some money for God, for God's service? Most people would say no. Never. But because the devotee is enthusiastic, is inspired, is very positive, and knows how to emphasize the things which are palatable to the person will say, oh yeah, okay, fair enough, I'll check it out, give it a go, why not? Just like today, I had so many interesting people out there on Oxford Street. Even though it's a mad, you know, run, and you have to really take the ox by the horns and shake him, because it's not an easy place. But so many nice people are out there. We have to believe in the good of the people. Like I ask people, so what are you more interested in? You more into philosophy or psychology? And even though the person may be dressed, you know, as a worker or as a common person, that question gives them the chance to be a gentleman and a scholar. And they will go for it, like anything. All of a sudden, everybody is very philosophical. All of a sudden, why? Because you give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, of course, sometimes people go, what? And then you ask, come on, man, what are you into? This, that, this, that, this, that. The mind always works like that, you know, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong. And sometimes nothing registers. Then ask them, what are you into, man? You know? Football? Cars? Now we're talking. Then you have to connect the book to what the person is interested in. But try it out. Philosophy, psychology. Have you heard of karma? What does it mean to you? Do you believe in it? All of a sudden, people become very smart and very deep and very wise. But you have to give them the chance, the benefit of the doubt. Just like Krishna, he's giving us the benefit of the doubt, right? We are giving you the benefit of the doubt. If we say, hey, you got to go to school for 5 years, you got to pass the exam, otherwise you can't go out and distribute books. How many will go out and distribute books? None, right? But we just say, hey, it's fun, come on, everybody does it, it's great, it's ecstatic, you know, pleases Prabhupada. And yeah, there's a little bit of purification, but, you know, that's kind of self-explanatory. We don't tell that. You'll figure that out on your own. And you just go out and you try. And so many positive experiences come from it. So take shelter of sound vibration. Any questions to sound vibration? Ultimately, everything is sound vibration. Everything is energy out there. It's an exchange of energy. And it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. People only register 7% of what you actually say. And all the rest is body language and nonverbal communication. It's all intonation, how you move, how you deal with them, all of that. Your personality and your impression is much louder. You know that saying? You know? No. Who you are is so loud, is screaming so loud at me, I can't hear you talk. You know? It's like, by your personality, you give a lot of information. So that's what we have to focus on, mainly. Also, our words should be correct. But it's not the main thing. Yes?
I'm just thinking that if you listen to many classes and do a lot of reading,
yes,
and you're taking a lot of information, then when you go to the street, you have so much, you know, depth there, then how do you, you know, like, make that so small and then compact and just deliver it real quick?
You just compress it into MPEG-3. You just make a zip file. You zip it, and then you just beam it across. Just by saying hello, you can already give over the energy. Just like when you meet a person, what's the first thing you're going to do when you meet a person? What's the very first thing? What's before that? Before that. Eye contact, right? I see you. And I see you, and I give you the message that I have seen that you have seen me. Okay? Right? Next thing, you smile. Then you walk towards them. Then you put out your hand. And you say, hi. And your hand, there's radar here. You know? You know radar? Like sonar? Radar? Huh? And you project the positive energy. You know? The force. Right? You give him a boost of positive energy. Hi, how's it going? And you already check out, you already receive all the energy, all the data you need to know about this person is already received. Then you ask them a question. Are you from London or out of town? Oh, I'm from London. Oh, very well. Here, we're showing these today for all the nice people. Oh, I'm from out of town. Oh, welcome to London. We're showing these today for all the visitors. Have a look. You qualify the prospect. If they feel qualified, then, oh yeah, this is for me. This is for all the smart people. This is for all the well-dressed people. This is for all the funny people. This is for all the nice people. Are you a smart person? No? Okay, then you're qualified. This is for you. No matter what the answer is, they're qualified. You understand? It comes to the same point. But questions, questions, questions. Huh? Question mark looks like what? Like a fish hook, right? What do you do with a fish hook? You catch fish, right? So you oblige people by asking them the right type of questions. You can't tackle them. You can't just jump in front of them and, you know, hey, you stop. You just ask them questions. And in this way, they'll stop. And in this way, you can actually put the book in their hands. Huh? Depend on Krishna for results.
I still don't understand the answer exactly. Because if you're reading so many things,
yes,
then, you know, you have to just give them an essence of it, like a tiny drop of it.
Yes, and the essence might be, hi, how you doing? The essence is compassion. The essence of all the Vaishnava philosophy is compassion. And that compassion may manifest in a smile, it may manifest in a, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? Great day today, right? Huh? I walk up to these guys in suits and I ask them, hey man, how's it going? You still got a job? They're still paying you? You know? If you come, you want to stop them in any way, it doesn't work. You say something funny, you provoke him a little bit. Oh, okay, I'm going to deal with this guy. Seems like a smart chap. Okay. Sold a few books today like that. Huh? The essence. Not the big story. The short version. That's what's required. Yes.
You know, you just said that probably like provoking a bit. In order to do that, you've got to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yes. Yes. Your comfort level has to be there. If you feel unsure, insecure, if you have issues, you know, it will be very, very difficult. You're too much in your own head. You can't, you got issues to deal with. You can't go out and project to the outside world. So you have to do your homework. When I go out there, I'm super confident. They can throw at me whatever they want to throw at me, you know? You tell them, is that all you got? Can't you do any better? You know? What's wrong with you, man? I asked them, you just work and die here? What's your lame excuse? You know? And they just feel like, okay, you know, all right, let's put the weapons down and let's deal like a human being, right? But first you have to put away all that kind of, you know, prejudice and insecurity and, you know, just like you meet a dog, what do? What did the dog do? He comes, he wants to get up on you, right? Huh? But if you grab the dog, you know, if you grab him and, you know, you scratch him behind the ears, and he goes, ah, yeah, you know, he feels comfortable. But if you're scared of the dog feels that, and he goes after you, right? But if you're confident, it's okay. It's all about boundaries. You have to know where are the boundaries. Again, cultural differences. You have to know how far to go, how much you can, you know, encroach upon their comfort zone, their personal zone. You have to learn that. Some people like it a little casual, a little distant. Some people want to be more up close. They're more comfortable like that. You have to make sure the person is comfortable.
So are you saying if you're not on it, don't go out?
No, go out. By all means, go out and get on it. Get on with it, you know? Roll with it. You shape up while you're doing it. It's like, how many times have you started sports and you weren't sharp, you weren't onto it, you weren't there, you know? But you just started, you know? You had a million things in your head, How many times have we gone to kirtan and we didn't feel like it, you know? You were just your good old grumpy self, right? And dancing and chanting was the last thing in your mind, right? But all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden the groove starts to happen, you know? And it starts to pick you up and you start to move along with it. So the same thing happens with book distribution. First few steps, a little difficult. Then all of a sudden, in the beginning you just have to connect and start talking with people a little bit. Even without just introducing the book, you just start to get the energy. And then introduce the book as fast as possible. Don't just stand there and talk to the person. Not going to happen. Put the book in their hand. Then they become attached to it. Depend on Krishna for results. Be an instrument. Krishna is the doer. We're not the doers. Krishna is the doer. I'll take your question after. Just a second. So, we've heard it a million times, but do we actually believe it? We still believe we can make it happen, right? We still believe we're in charge. And we fail miserably at whatever we do. We can't even screw the cap of our cream, of our, you know, for brushing the teeth, what do you call it?
Toothpaste.
The toothpaste. How many times have you failed in screwing the cap of your toothpaste on top of it? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but, you know, silly things, right? We can't even do little things. What to speak of changing people's lives? This is only possible for Krishna. So we have to become Krishna's instrument. Give up being the doer. It's remarkable how much you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit. Pray to Guru and Krishna for direction and help. Guru and Krishna are there. They're ready to empower you. They're ready to give you strength, courage, and protection. But we have to turn towards them. Yes, what was your question?
The question was, what you were just previously speaking about the confidence.
Yes.
You were saying that you don't feel like it's fair or doubts on the street. So does the confidence come by experience? More you go on, more
yes. Your confidence level builds up by experience, definitely.
And on the point of confidence, where is the line between confidence and arrogance?
The line is very clear. The line is very clear. Confidence means I am confident that I can't do this on my own. I'm confident that I'm dependent on Guru and Krishna. But I'm confident that they will empower me. Because they have done it in the past. And they can act through me. They can empower anybody. They can make a blind man see, they can make a lame man dance, and a mute person can start to speak poetry. So they can empower me if I surrender and I'm the instrument. That's the line. The other side is arrogance. And we all know what that means. Other questions?
What you're saying about this, what you were saying about the result was addressed there because we were out today, you know, and so there was like a little bit of competitive spirit, you know, a little bit. Because
how did that feel?
Everybody was out there.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good, but it also
put you on the spot, right? You
yeah.
saw the other people and you
yeah.
saw, hey, they're all doing books and what's happening here?
Yeah, and
Adam number one, what's he doing?
So it was good. It was good, but in a way, then that makes you more eager for the result, you know. It's like, I gotta get something here, you know. Otherwise I'm gonna fail, you know. So it makes you more eager for the result. So how to? So it's like, oh, it's just like misdirected desire. Because you're like eager for the result.
You shouldn't be eager for the result. You should be eager to become an instrument. You should be eager to be able to render service. You should realize it's not working like this. I am blocking the energy. The energy is not flowing. So, I just got to step out of the way and let this happen. Like you saw those young kids. You know, just try it once. And just cut it short. Just say, this is a wonderful book. I really liked it. It changed my life. I'm sure you can benefit from it too. Can you give a donation? And you'll see. It happens. Just like that. But a lot of times we want to talk, and we mess it up. Has it ever happened to you? Huh? And even though the person would want to take the book, but by us talking so much, we just give him information overload. And then especially you start talking about what it's not this, it's not that, it's not the other thing. And stay positive, man. You don't have to tell him, 5 gigabytes of information. All they want to see is a friendly face. That's all the people want to see and experience. Yes? Yeah. It's about you. Of course, we want to focus it on the book as much as possible. But for the person, primarily, it's you. And because you're living the book and you're presenting the book, then they'll also take the book. Number 7, organize. Measure twice, cut once. Conduct your service like a well-run business rather than a casual hobby, which means get serious. Like when you have a business, what do? You have a business plan. You say, what's my goal? How I'm going to achieve this goal? What do I need to achieve this goal? You write it down. You set yourself goals. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you think, another day, Hare Krishna, I don't know what's going to happen today, probably not much. But, set yourself some goals. A book a day keeps Maya away. I want to do one book every day. So I just put my 30 books and I take them with me in my bag. And every day I meet one nice person, isn't it? In your day, every day, you meet one nice person, even if you're not on Sankirtan. So then you give them that book. There you go. So set yourself goals. Not like, I want to be number one in the world, I want to do 10,000 books a month. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be reasonable, feasible goals, goals you can achieve. Keep your goals visible. You have these post-it, these yellow little papers or whatever, write it down. Did you read your chapter of Bhagavad Gita today? Huh? Put it on the fridge, put it on your computer, put it on your television, on your VCR, Did you do your book today? Like that. Remind yourself.
So it's bad and chad. Bad and chad.
Bad?
Book a day.
Book a day, yes. Design and write out a clear plan. Work from a list. Huh? Draw up a list. Okay, what are the things which I require right now to get into book distribution? What do you require? Huh? So, what does it mean, what you require? Well, first of all, what do you need? What's the first thing you need? Books, right? If you don't have any books, you can't distribute them. Sounds kind of obvious, right? How many times we don't have the books and we actually need them? Huh? So many times. Then, the training. The training is available. There are so many devotees here in this temple or in the London area who are able and capable of distributing books. If where there's a will, there's a way. If you want to learn it, you hunt somebody down who knows how this works. And you says, please, Prabhu, please, Mataji, please teach me how this works. I want to come out and watch you, and you please watch me, and you please tell me how I can do this. That's how it works. When I started book distribution, I was 15 years old. I was not very outspoken. I just went with so many devotees. I watched them. I studied them. I took notes. I memorized. I started to use their lines and their mantras. I dropped what didn't work. I improved. I built my own repertoire. And gradually, things started to take shape. It took a while. But keep on at it. Write down your next steps. So what's the next step? Like right now is Friday. Okay, what's your next step? Tomorrow, Saturday, you're going to go out. Where are we going to go?
Stratford.
Okay. So we have Bhagavatam class, then we have Stratford book distribution. Then we have another class in the evening. So what's the next steps? What am I going to do? Christmas marathon, proper marathon is around the corner. What am I going to do? The year is almost over. A couple of months left. What's your plan? Huh? Do you have a plan? How many of you have a plan? 3 months plan, or a 1 year plan, or a 3 year plan? Write down your goals. Huh? Set yourself some goals. Define your main areas of focus and acquire the tools of your trade. You may require proper shoes, you may require a proper pair of pants and a shirt. You gotta look respectable. A hat, put some sunblock on, or a proper dhoti, tilak. You gotta have a book bag or a fanny pack, you know. Just a few things which you need in order to do your activity properly. So invest in tool and infrastructure. You can't say, oh, I don't have any money, I can't do this, you know. You need those things, otherwise it will be difficult. Master the basics of communication. What are the main points of communication? What's the first thing in communication? In terms of verbal communication. Yes? Yeah? What else? What's the primary one? When you say Hare Krishna, how are you? And then the person says something?
Oh, they smile.
They smile, yes. And they say, oh, very well, thank you. Thanks for asking. So then you have to listen to them. Become an active listener. Actually lend people your ear. Huh? And we saw today, devotees practiced that. And just by listening a little bit, huh? Like there was that young boy, he had a little bit of grief to share. And you heard him out. And he took the book and gave you 10 quid. Boom, right there. And you felt like, wow. Yeah, better. And all just because, not because you preached, not because you quoted Shastra, not because you gave him a sermon, because you just listened to him for 20 seconds. And that made that kid take that book very seriously. And he felt very good about it because he could share what was important to him with you. And that was all that was needed. No big discussions, no big talks. Set, sold, finished. So, active listening, yes?
How do you protect yourself by, you know, some other stuff?
You don't get into the stuff. You keep it on a nice level. Don't get into all the nitty-gritty and gory details, you know? You're not a shrink, you're not a psychiatrist, we're not trained for that. That's not our faculty. If you feel people have a lot of grief, they have a lot of issues, you just tell them, look, I can see, I would love to talk to you, but this is not the proper environment. Here is my card. Why don't you come and see me at the temple? I would really love to hear your story. But not like here, you know, in between the cars, you know, like sitting down. And they have to accept that, because there's a proper place for everything. So you protect yourself. You don't think, oh, I'm the savior of the most fallen. I can take care of everybody's problem, because we can't. But it's not too much just to ask them, how are you doing today? And then, you know, when they're answering, not just, you know, talk to my elbow while I'm watching, you know, the people who are walking by, you know. Hey man, you just asked me something, you know, listen to my reply, you know. You have to give people the attention they require. That's active listening. And you actually respond. You actually have able to carry a cohesive conversation. You don't just go through your list, you know. Hi, welcome, and goodbye. You know? No. You ask them, oh, what do you do for a living? They say, oh, I'm an analyst. You say, oh, are you very good at what you do? Do you like your job? You don't ask him how much money do you make, and, you know, what was the biggest blunder you ever did, and, you know, how should I invest in stocks right now? You just ask them, you know, the one or two nice things to make it personable, like that. Customer service. Service the people. Be considerate. Ask them, oh, would you like to have the small one, or would you like to have the other one? Be a little flexible. Be a little considerate with them. They feel, oh, this person is trying to, you know, service me. He's trying to give me service. Makes a big difference in the world when you feel that there's a service attitude. You're not just, okay, everybody gets one of these, and everybody gives one of these, and, you know, okay, next one. You know, you feel like you're dealing with a person here. Become a master asker. Ask the right types of questions. That's what we're going to discuss Sunday morning in our workshop. From what time to what time? 11 to 2. Huh? Become a master asker. You will learn about open-ended questions, closed-ended questions, how to deal with difficult people, how to deal with all the different interesting people. Huh? These are the topics of Sunday's seminar. Become a master asker. You don't distribute a lot of books by talking a lot, but by asking the right kind of questions and just leading the conversation in a way you want it to go. So if you want to learn that art, Sunday is your day. And execute your plan. Inch by inch, it's a stench, it's a struggle. Incremental. Rome wasn't built in one day, neither was London. It takes a while. So be patient. Be patient with the people on the street. Be patient with your own self. Don't think if you go out the next day and it doesn't immediately happen, oh, this can't work like that. Be patient. Huh? Give it the time it requires. We have been in this material world for a little while. Brahmande, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavana, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Bhai, Bhakti, Lata, Beach. We've been wandering. Huh? And now we've gotten this chance to take up Krishna consciousness. And now we think in 5 minutes we can change everybody's lives. We'll just say the magic word and they'll just be mesmerized. It's not that easy. It's not that cheap. Huh? It takes a little while. But Krishna is very kind. He's very merciful. So please take this book distribution seriously and you will see how your lives will change and how you'll be able to change other people's lives, how you'll be able to benefit them. Any questions on organization? Yes?
Just on how much the most time you spend with the person? What is there? Do you have like limit once you spend the most 10 minutes?
2 minutes and 46 seconds. After 2 minutes and 46 seconds, my alarm goes off, you know? And I have to move to another person.
No, because you know, like before we hear, don't spend so much time with the person, just, you know, 10 minutes, maybe Maya, you know.
If that person maybe becomes a devotee,
yeah. I was thinking like this.
Then you should spend half an hour. But if you're spending with everybody 20 minutes and they're not taking the books and they're not impressed and at the end they say, oh, thank you very much, I got all my... You want the book? No, I got all the information I needed. If I want to need more, I'll find you here tomorrow, right? That's not how it works. You should just give them an appetizer, a teaser, you know? And then they'll be eager to read the book. So don't give them information overload, but also don't be too shallow and too superficial. Don't oversell, don't undersell. Don't sell yourself short. You have to give them enough so they're impressed, but not too much that they feel blown away. That's the art. It's subtle. It's very subtle. And with every person, you have to fine-tune it. Huh? That's the art. That's the challenge. That's why book distribution is so enlivening, because it's a constant challenge on a daily basis. Every person, you have to adapt and you have to feel, okay, what can this person take? Everybody's got a cup. Some of them small cup, some of them bigger cup. Some people, they can only take a smile, a friendly word. Some people, they can take the full set. So if they ask, so how much should I give? You say, some people give their whole lives. If you can't do that, just give £1,000,000. If you can't do that, you know, try 100. Just give what you can. Or try to keep it under 100. And then, you know, they'll feel inspired. Like you saw today, there was those ladies. You remember those two ladies from Switzerland? Huh? And, you know, I just told them, students give 10, workers give 20. She said automatically, yeah, I feel like I should give 20. And that for her was like the minimum which she wants to give for that, you know? But if you think, oh, you know, they cost
cost me $225, so if I get three, I'll be okay, but four would be better. So, you know, three or four, what should I say? Just give whatever you like, you know? If you want to know more about this, you have to come to Sunday seminar. How to close it properly. Give people the feeling like, wow, thank you so much, you know? That they feel really that they've done the best they could. Any other questions about organization? Or you all very well organized? You've got your act together, I can see. Huh? British are very famous for being very organized. Huh? Yeah, you ran around the countries, you know, with very few people. I've heard there was only a few hundred people in India. And just by having it organized and letting other people do the work, they actually ran things. So if you get things organized, that means get more people involved. Huh? Get your team, get your friends involved. And in this way it'll be fun, and you'll distribute many more books. If I give you the choice, what do you want? Do you want 5 brahmacharis doing 25 books every day, 5 days a week? Or do you want 500 people in the congregation doing 1 book a week?
500.
You want 500. What do you want?
Same.
Same. What do you want? Come on, you're a brahmachari. Come on. Huh? You don't want the 5 brahmacharis? You against brahmacharis?
Of course.
Huh? You want the 5 brahmacharis. What do you want? Huh? You want both, yes! You got a winner there. Huh? But the mind always tells you this or that, right? But we want both. We want 50 brahmacharis here doing this full time. But we also want 5,000 people in the congregation doing 1 book a day or 1 book a week. Is it impossible? No. It's possible. But that means first we have to increase our, you know, experience, our determination, our expertise, and our comfort level. Any other questions? Yes?
What time on Sunday is this seminar?
11 to 2. There's Bhagavatam class also, and there's Sunday feast class also. But if you want to know how this whole thing works in practical reality, from when you see them till they walk away with a big smile on their face. That's Sunday, 11 to 2. Today is still, you know, why we're doing what we're doing, how you get the energy, how you get enthusiastic, how you get juiced up, what's the whole thing behind it. That was today's topic, the 7 habits. Because habits are very important, because that's what we're made of. Any other questions? Yes?
What was your main motivation to start the show?
I wanted to become the best. I'm very ambitious. I was playing sports before, and I figured, hey, if these guys can do it, I can do this too, and I can do it better than they do it. And it took me a while, but, you know, and it got purified. It wasn't a pure motivation, but you come because of who you are, you know? You got what you got. You got to work with who you are. You can't change yourself. First, I saw the book distributors when I came to the temple. I saw Harinamananda, Rohini Sudha, and I thought, wow, these people are different. I want to become like them. And then as time went on, I wanted to do more than them. And with Harinamananda, it took me 15 years, you know? It was a long competition. I was number 2 for about 12 years till I finally did more than him. It was tough, you know. So you've asked me, so you gotta have your motivation. They may not be completely pure. You may just know, hey, I'm a mess, you know, I'm just in bad shape, my runs are lousy, you know. My sadhana is a mess. I don't have my act together. But I know this book distribution will sort me out. This will fix me up. You know, maybe, hey, I want to impress my spiritual master. I want to make something out of my life. I want to become more confident. If you know the art of book distribution, after You master this. It may take you 2 or 3 years till you get good at it. You can do any service in this movement. Any service. Anything. The doors are wide open. You want to become a leader, you want to become whatever you want to become, you can become. But you have to go through this school. And you have to eat some humble pie. It's required. And it's an acquired taste. But it's also quite sweet. Because Krishna has a lot in store for you. If we wouldn't know how much nectar is out there, we would be running and jumping. We would be taking leaps to go out in Sankirtan and to meet Krishna. Because Krishna is out there. Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, they're out there performing their Sankirtan pastime. Whether we see it, whether we're part of it or not, that's a different question. But they're out there performing their pastimes. And we can be there assisting them, taking part in it, and enjoying the fun and the benefit. But if we just sit in the corner, you know, sucking in our big thumb and saying, hey, you know, poor me, poor pity pity me, then, you know, yeah, I know it's going to be overcast, it's going to be London weather, so what? If the Krishna sun is shining in your heart and you feel inspired, your day is bright, whether it's snowing or raining or cold, this is Brahmabhuta. This is the level of being equipoised, of being steady in Krishna consciousness. So initially your desire might not be that pure. I mean, who joins as a pure devotee? Anybody out here? Not too many. We all have our backgrounds, we have our issues, we have our personalities, our desires, our, you know. But this will help us to get our homework done, to be the best we can be. Because Prabhupada was not mediocre. Prabhupada wasn't just about, you know, get by, just do this somehow. Prabhupada was into excellence. He strived for excellence. And he was looking for excellence. Any other questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna, you said you are very ambitious, but that comes with big blows as well. Would you...
With?
Big blows, big mistakes, and big fall downs. Would you like to share something and what you learned from it? Because we learn from other people's mistakes.
Yes, so many mistakes. I'm making mistakes every day. It's
would you
part
like
of
share
life.
One example?
One big example. So many examples are there. How many would like to hear? So many. Krishna is telling you every day on the street. People are telling you. Like one time, I was distributing books outside a mall, and there was a couple that came out, and they said, you got to open this button on this shirt, you know. You look uptight. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I could have said, what? You know, what are you talking about? But no. For them, it looked wrong. So I opened the button, and I smiled, and I said, thank you. And they took the book. But if you say, who are you to tell me how I should dress? You know, get out of my face. Then, like that. So there's small mistakes, there are bigger mistakes, there's so many mistakes. One time, I went from one country to another country, and I didn't want to declare the books. And I thought, why should we waste our money and give the money to the taxman, right? Because they're the demons. We're just going to drive through, and, you know, Krishna will take care. And they stopped me. They asked, do you have anything to declare? And I said, no. And they opened the side door, and it was all filled with books. And that wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem was that I already had the tax papers in the car, all filled out. So it showed very clearly that, you know, I wanted to cheat them. So they got upset, you know, naturally. And they took me to the office, and I said, you know, please don't call the temple, otherwise they kick me out of the monastery. You know, and I had to really eat my hat, you know. I really had to eat humble pie. It was heavy. So I had to pay, and I had to pay a fine, and I had to really apologize to them. And it was Krishna's lesson, that not just because you're a devotee, now you can just run red lights, and, you know, do this, do that. You know, some people think, you know, I'm on a mission from God. I can shoplift, I can steal and cheat and do this and that. We're the good guys, right? And then Krishna says, no, boom, you know, and you hit that brick wall. And all of a sudden, it's shock therapy, you know? You really get hit hard and heavy on your chest. And you're like, and there's no air coming, you know? Has it ever happened to you? Yeah. And it's very sobering. It's not that much fun. Later on, it might be fun, you know, you're telling all the nice stories. But in the moment, it's... And that happens. But Krishna is not embarrassing us on a, you know, momentary level. He kind of paces it, you know, he gives it a little time so we can gain a little bit of breath and confidence like that. So many mistakes, you know? It's part of life. It's called learning. It's a school of hard knocks. I'm graduate from that school, you know? I dropped out of ninth grade, but I've graduated from the school of hard knocks. I've got a lot of titles, you know, MA, BA, PhD. I've had a lot of titles in that. Hare Krishna. We're just wrapping up here. We're just going to show you one video of Srila Prabhupada. Not that one. Develop this institution.
I was already in the street and some of the boys saw me, and gradually you came to me, and actually I did not try anything for developing this institution. The boys did it. Most of my students, they were and the students, they said, hey, Chico, but they are forgiven of everything.
Srila Prabhupada's quotes.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada Chanda Book Distribution ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Thank you all for coming. Have a great weekend. Happy Sankirtan.
Jai.
Gaur Bhaktarinda ki jai.
Jai.
It's a great thing. So tomorrow morning, as Narayana Prabhu said, he's going to give the CC class, and then we are going out to Stratford. So if devotees would like to join, that would be great. And he's giving the evening Bhagavad Gita class from 6 until 7. And then again on Sunday, the CC class. Then the seminar from 11 to 2. Sunday feast talk. And question answers after Sunday feast. His grace, Navin Deo Prabhu ki
jai.
Yes, ma'am. Hopefully, still around.
And did you distribute?
Oh, sorry, 1 minute.
There is all the notes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. The notes from this class are here. You can pick up your copy.
Can you tell the devotees outside or the notes here? If it just be at the door.
Sorry, I'll give you one thing.
Sachin, can you tell the devotees outside the notes? I wasn't able to get that printed.
You want to switch this off because you are wasting your space.
Huh?
You want to switch this off because you are wasting your space.
Yeah.